Now would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures now, and Lord, to share now my testimony. Amen. Every Christmas, I love getting Christmas cards, but there's always one Christmas card that I look forward to. And every year it seems to happen or occur, but it's that Christmas card I'm sure many of you have gotten that has the picture of the three wise men looking up at the star or before the baby Jesus with the inscription, "Wise men still seek him." Happened again this year. Got the card in the mail, and there's just something about that card in that saying, "Wise men still seek him." So today we're going to look at the story of the wise men, and we're going to analyze this as we're going to look at it and what happened, and kind of frame it as being words to the wise. So our sermon notes can be found in your bulletins. But first of all, I wanted to start off by saying that really we know very little about the wise men, despite maybe the story we tell in plays and songs around Christmas time. The three kings arriving in Bethlehem. But when we hear the story, we think about it being fast on the heels of the shepherds to pay homage to the baby in the manger. As a matter of fact, the story of the wise men is only found in the book of Matthew. And what we do know about the story is can be quite different than maybe what actually occurred. There were three kings, but they were not kings at all, but rather we know that they were magi or astrologers who had studied the skies and studied the stars. And when the star of Jesus appeared when he was born, this star was something that piqued their curiosity. And we know that these kings, these wise men, these astrologers, sought to follow that star. Now, we don't really know if there were three or if there were 30, but what the Bible does tell us that there were three distinct gifts. And those gifts, number one, were gold. Gold is for a king. We have the frankincense. Incense was burned as an offering to God. And then myrrh, which was used to anoint the dead. Three distinct gifts that talk about the identity of Jesus Christ who was born. There's no mention of the manger in the story. Instead, there's mention of a house. And in that house, we find in Matthew that you discover that in Bethlehem, close to 2 years after the birth of Jesus, there's the child with his parents found in the house, settled in. And so today I'd like to look with you at the story of the Magi. Let's call it once again, words to the wise. And each of the points that we're going to talk about today share a wisdom for us that is available if we want it. So the first thing the wise men did is we discover in the story that the wise men sought for truth and wisdom. The wise men sought for truth and wisdom. They knew that the star that they had followed was no ordinary star. And apparently they'd been searching for years to find something unique, something that was occurring because of this. But what kind of gets me, my brothers and sisters, is they were open to new wisdom and new truth. And more than this, they searched for it. They weren't simply content to get along with what they already knew. So when they saw that new star in the sky, they sensed in their heart that it was a sign from God. The Bible tells us over and over again, if we go to Matthew 7, chapter 7, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened unto you. The Bible tells us that if we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be opened. If we ask, we will receive. But how often do we actually seek for wisdom, for new truth, for guidance? You know, one of our things as human beings is when something is new, we become uncomfortable with it at times because we don't have a frame of reference to it. So if you think about times in your life when something new happened and you really weren't sure about it, you know, it was just one of these things and you had to work through it. But what the wise men teach us is that when we get those things going on in our lives, that's the time where we need to seek for wisdom and seek for truth. You see, the wise men did that. But as humans, what we do sometimes is when we're faced with something new, maybe something different, we react instead of respond. And that's one of the things that jumps out at me is the wise men responded to the beauty of the star. And when they saw the baby Jesus in his home with his parents, they responded. They didn't react. An important word to the wise today. So they gained their wisdom because they were seekers looking for many new things, new signs. They had read their manuals. They searched for heavens for signs and wonders, and they found them. And so today, the good news is we too, when we seek, can find. The second word to the wise, I would say, is this. The wise men set forth in faith to find what the star pointed to. They set forth in faith to find what the star pointed to. Now, we know that faith involves the idea of making a journey, of maybe venturing forth, of maybe taking a risk in a new activity. But what we find by the faith definition here is that the living God, our God, cannot be found by proxy. That was Herod's mistake. He thought that he was going to be able to find out knowledge and find out things by the proxy of the wise men. And only then would he come and worship the newborn king and then do what he really was going to do. By contrast, the Magi had to travel in a foreign land to search this wisdom and truth. And they knew it was important for them to follow the star where it led. But they, other than that, also knew that it was a personal quest. And the result was an opportunity to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This may well be the most important truth for us on this Epiphany story. A story of faith with Jesus has to be a personal story and a personal quest. We have to remember that the living God cannot be found by proxy. Yes, we can lead people to the Lord. We can lead people to salvation. But then there's that personal quest. There's that personal response that one needs to have to align themselves with the blessings and the salvation of Jesus Christ for the rest of their life. We're living in a world, folks, where, you know, that personal quest is getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. I can't tell you how many people I will talk with and, you know, we'll talk about their faith journey, come in to see me in my clinical office, and I always talk about spirituality. And they'll always talk about, well, you know, my grandma went to church or my grandpa went to church and, you know, I'm not really, you know, I mean, I believe, but, you know, I'm leaning on my grandma. And then something happens, like they need a wedding or a funeral or something like that. And they want to go back to grandma. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, they realize this faith journey, what am I supposed to do with it? And that's exactly when we want to wrap our arms around people and say, yeah, finding the risen Christ, finding salvation, it's not just by your family heritage, but it's by that personal reaction, that personal dedication that you give to Jesus Christ himself, that personal quest. And those of us here that have gone through that type of salvation, that have gone through that type of coming to know the Lord and Savior, you know what I mean. I always tell the story, when I was in my young 20s, I used to play for a lot of revivals. And the reason why I played for revivals, and I'll be real honest with you, it paid good money. There was a revival by the name of a gentleman by the name of Earl Bailey. I don't know if everyone ever went to an Earl Bailey. He was a United Methodist revivalist in East Ohio and went all around Ohio. And I was his guy. You know, I was the guy that played the piano and the organ and, you know, led the gospel choir and all that. And I used to remember, because, you know, I grew up not United Methodist, and I used to remember seeing people come to the altar, and I'd see people crying, and I'd see people just moving, and I'd go, like, what's wrong with them? Why are you crying? Why are you reacting this way? And then there was one night where all of a sudden I looked up, and I was at that rail. And it was at that time I realized that a life in Jesus, claiming salvation, claiming repentance, takes that personal response. Maybe I didn't need to be kneeling there, but I needed to commit my life to him. I needed to make my faith more than a paycheck. I needed to make my faith more than the church that my grandma and grandpa, my mom and dad went. It was something I had to do. And I knew that when I got married, it's something that I would have to lead my family and my children with. So faith, my friends, is not like inheriting family jewels, nor can come from simply knowing what others have said about it. And so the wise men set forth in faith to find what the star pointed to. Now let's go to sermon note number 3. The wise men sought help from other people as they tried to find the king. We so often try to live our lives maybe with no demands on others. We try to be independent. We try to stand alone. We try to make it on ourselves. And sometimes this comes out of noble motives, and other times we're just fear of depending on somebody else to kind of guide us. And so when the wise men arrived in Jerusalem, it seems like they lost sight of the star. They kind of had an idea of the area, what it was, but they weren't sure. You know, sometimes we used to use, who remembers triptychs from AAA? Anybody? Yeah. Younger folks don't even know what that is. Yeah. So now we have GPS on our phones. Okay. I got to tell you, you know, so sometimes I heavily rely on GPS on my phone, but sometimes you can't rely on it. I mean, I remember the first time I was trying to find this church, and I don't know what I typed in on my GPS, but there's a little park on Trebine Road out there almost before whatever that is that comes in 35. And it led me right there. And I didn't see any church. And I'm sitting in my car, I'm looking at the GPS, I'm going, well, now what do I do? What do I do? And I thought, well, I'll put it in again. And guess what? You have arrived. So after about 15, 20 minutes, I finally picked up the phone, dialed 937-362-7601. The office secretary answered, and I said, "Hi, I'm Pastor John, and I'm looking for the church, and I'm in some park." It was, but you know what? She gave me, she said, no, this is the address, this is where you go. She gave me that guidance, but you see, I had to get to the point where I wanted to ask. Now that's a simple example there. But because as Christians, when we ask, we will receive. And the question sometimes is answered, it can be something that's familiar as the scriptures or prophecies, but then there may be times where we don't know, can I really trust this? The question is, are we willing to ask for help when we need it? When we're in the right neighborhood, can we find our destination? So the wise men sought from help from other people. Now, very careful with this, as many people can help us on our journey of faith, the question we need to take is, are we willing to ask? You know, in the Old Testament, the book of Solomon, Solomon was king, but Solomon was this king who just sought for wisdom and knowledge. And so we get in the Old Testament the book of Proverbs. And one of my challenges to you would be, if you ever want to do a challenge, start at the beginning of the month. In the Proverbs, there's 31 of them. Read one of those Proverbs every day and listen to the wisdom that those Proverbs have. I tried that once, and it was absolutely amazing how that proverb spoke to me in something or whatever that was going on in that day. So many people, you know, we can ask on the journey of faith, and we need to ask that. And obviously the Bible is just a great source of that guidance. And so the last one today, the words of the wise, that the wise men accepted what God had led them to. They accepted it. And then they believed in it. In the story of the wise men, much is made of what they gave to the Christ child. But consider what they were given for a minute. They set out looking for a king of kings, in fact. And after a long, hard journey, they ended up in a simple home in Bethlehem. And there they found a carpenter and his wife, and a child. No costly treasures in the house, no purple robes, no gold rings, nothing in fact to show that they're in the presence of the person that's destined to be the Messiah. Only that star that stood overhead to indicate that anything special was going on. And we're told they accepted this. All the outward signs are telling them you're in the wrong place. But that one sign, the sign of God, told them that they need to ignore the rest and they need to trust what they were given. You know, so many of us have a hard time accepting what God has given in the form that he gives it in. Have you ever gone some time in your life where you have an idea of what things should be like for your life, or what things should be like maybe for your family, or maybe what things should be like for your church? And it doesn't seem to line up. And those are times where we need to kind of lean on God, leaning on those everlasting arms like the choir sang today. We need to lean on God and know that as long as we are accepting him, we are safe and secure from all safe and secure from all alarms. I love that word. Think of that word. Safe and secure from all alarms. Because it's then, it's when those alarms go off inside of us. When doubt comes up, when we start to tremble, when we start to fear, we need to lean on those everlasting arms. And that's what the wise men did. They accepted what God led them to, and they believed in it. We have sometimes hard time considering God's answers to our questions, but we know that they can be found by seeking, by asking, by knocking. And so as we go forth today and as we get prepared to celebrate the sacrament of communion, the words to the wise were simply this. Number one, wise men, they sought for wisdom. Number two, they were willing to journey in faith to personally discover what God was doing. Personally discover what God was doing. They did not hesitate to ask for help along the way. And finally, they accepted what they found, even though it was plainly dressed. And they believed in it. Simple stuff, really. But sometimes common sense and wisdom is simple stuff. simple, but when used as the wise men used it, can lead us to God. May God bless us all with this kind of wisdom. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we thank you so much for this Christmas season. We thank you as it continues on today with the Epiphany of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, stir in our hearts. Lead us to the places that you would have us go. And most of all, Lord, give us the courage to understand your will and your work for us. And Lord, we pray that those today who have not ever made a personal commitment to you might be stirred in their hearts to know that you are there with your arms open to welcome them into that special relationship. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.